In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints of God, this morning we're given to contemplate this one question. Is sin a big deal? And to answer that, we're going to discuss some popular answers given to that question, is sin a big deal? The world's response to that question is, what really is sin? In the world's perspective, there is such a thing as sin, but it's not what the Lord calls sin. Because in the world, you should be able to be whatever you want to be. You should be able to do whatever you want to do. You should be able to feel whatever it is you want to feel. And what guides the path of what you're going to do is your human heart, the pursuit of fulfillment. Now, if that's money, then you should pursue it and get as much of it as you can to get all the stuff that you could ever want. If it's sexual desire, then you should be able to fulfill it in the manner that makes you feel good, whatever that may be. You see, the world is very open for you to do whatever it is you want to do, but there are sins in the world. According to the world, I think that this is the definition of sin: anything that hurts others. Now, at first, I think that we might resonate with that because oftentimes our sins do hurt others. However, if that is the baseline as to whether something is sin or not, does it hurt someone else, then I think that we get a little off. So, the world is fine with you seeking all the money you want, but it is not okay with you killing and stealing in order for you to get it. The world says you should have all the sexual gratification that you want, but you can't force yourself on others. So, the world isn't just open to anything and everything. It's do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt others. But if that is the basis for sin instead of truth, founded in pleasure-seeking, then there is, in the world, an unforgivable sin. If it's all about doing what makes me feel good, and sin is anything that hurts others, then this is the unforgivable sin, according to the world. It is condemning someone else that what they've done is wrong. It's speaking out against someone else. What happens when you tell someone else that they have done something wrong? You're hurting them, or at least hurting their feelings, but also you're standing in their way of their dreams of who they want to be. This perspective sees the Lord's commandments as somewhat arbitrary, that God issued the Ten Commandments just on a whim, some arbitrary rules, just some things that God felt like commanding. As if God was up there going, what commandments can I come up with that's really going to ruin their fun? But rather, what we see is that the Lord gives us the commandments in order to create an order that would protect His gifts. So the commandment just goes to show us what is important to God. It's just like if a robber breaks into your home, he's going to go after your safe because it's where the most security is. That's where the high value items are. And so where God puts His commandments shows where His high valued gifts are. So the reason God said you shall not murder is to protect His gift of life. The reason God said you should not commit adultery is to protect the gift of marriage and family. And the reason God said you should not misuse the name of the Lord your God is to keep His name holy among us, to be preached and prayed to. So the world thinks sin is serious, but not these sins, not the commandments, just its own sins: condemnation, telling others they're wrong, judgment, These are the only sins the world knows. And to the world, these sins are very serious. But Sabbath day, honoring parents, coveting, who cares? No, if no one's hurt, do what feels good. Is sin a big deal? Let's answer that question according to the pop church. Now, what I mean by that is the popular church. I'm not speaking about any particular church, but any church that attracts the masses of people without focusing on the preaching of God's word. Now, there's nothing wrong with a big church, we should say that. But anytime a church, big or small, tries to attract people by things other than the word of God, then we are talking about this pop church. Such churches fill their seats by preaching that God is for you in your hard times, but they never talk about sin. Much like the world, they want to be told that they're not doing anything is wrong, but God is there who will continue to be there for life's setbacks. Now you might ask, how can a church really avoid the issue of sin, because it is in the Bible? And the way it is often done is this, that God is love. And because God is love, he just kind of winks at sin. He looks at each and every one, and he just kind of shrugs off their sins as a minor failure. But he's a pretty understanding God. He knows you'd do better if you could. You have the best intentions after all. This God just overlooks your sins and loves you no matter what. Nothing to worry about. Now, I don't know who said it first, but it's really good. There's a saying that says, the church that cannot curse cannot bless. The church that cannot curse cannot bless. That is to say, if your church cannot call sin a sin, neither can it talk about the blessing of the forgiveness of sin that is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we think that the good news is that God is love, and it is, but the only way for us to see that God is love is to first see our sins and what God does for them. There we see the love of God. So the pop church says, sin, no big deal. So what about you? Is sin a big deal? Do you regard sin as something pretty serious or something that can be easily overlooked? If we look at your lives, what you think about, what you talk about, your actions, what would we find? I think the answer is yes, that sin is a big deal. That sin is very serious. But there's a little asterisk after that answer. There's some fine print. And the fine print is that it's other people's sins that are really serious. Have you ever noticed that? That we all have a certain tolerance and a certain sensitivity to sin. And when it comes to the sins of others, we're very sensitive. But when it comes to our sins, we can explain it away, we can rationalize why it's okay. So you completely fly off the handle and mouth off at someone, and you reason, well, they shouldn't ask such obvious questions because that's what's going to happen. But then someone looks at you kind of funny and you think that they're thinking something about you and you say, man, so-and-so does not live like a Christian. And really, we should have it the other way around. That we should have a sharp sensitivity to our own sins and then give our neighbor the benefit of the doubt. So when someone says something to you that's a little rude, don't assume they have an attitude problem. or hold some kind of a resentment against them. Instead, figure they might be having a lot going on right now. Let's cut them a little slack. Let's figure that there is a time where we too are not the most pleasant people, and we don't want others forming their opinion of us in our worst moments. You see, in this way, love covers a multitude of sins. Love there is not an emotion, a feeling, but it's action and doing. So if someone else causes you an inconvenience, just do whatever you have to do to make it right and forget about it. Not everything has to be a matter of justice. And when it comes to ourselves, is sin a big deal? We say yes. Other people's sins are a big deal. But my sins, not so much. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus teaches us just how big of a deal sin really is. There was a discussion going on amongst who is the greatest. And the disciples assume that he who understands the most about the kingdom of God is the greatest. And then Jesus takes a child and he says, this child is the greatest. And why is that true? Because a child is entirely and completely dependent upon others to take care of him. And when we're dependent and not self-sufficient, then we are objects of God's love. That we need everything from him. That God provides everything, and then we're the greatest. And then Jesus says this, that whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fashioned around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. The millstone was that big stone wheel that was used to grind wheat and other grains. And Jesus says that someone who leads a believing little one into disbelief, it would be better, that is to say, he'd prefer this, that a stone be hung around his neck and then thrown into the sea. That would be better than what's really going to happen. No matter how serious you think sin is, you probably didn't think it was that serious. And Jesus continues, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. Now, obviously, I hope everyone knows Jesus isn't telling us to start cutting off limbs and cutting out our eyes. But what Jesus is saying is that sin is very, very serious. All too often, we look at our sins and we kind of shrug. We're especially tempted to do this in light of Christ. We're tempted to think, oh well, Jesus will forgive me and just go on and sin anyway. We treat sin kind of like a bad habit. I probably shouldn't eat a tub of ice cream every night, but yeah, who cares? Oh well. But Jesus says this is serious. It's not a bad habit. It's like a disease taking over your body that you need to cut off before it's too late. The reason Jesus takes our sin with such severity is because our sin would put us as objects of God's wrath. And that's nothing to laugh about. God's wrath is justice for our transgressions. It is final and eternal. And if we got what we deserved because of our sins, we would deserve to be eternally tormented in the anguish of hell forever for being rebellious against God. That's what we deserve. That's why Jesus teaches us to approach our sin with severity, the kind of severity we're not really used to. And this is seen in how Jesus teaches us to deal with sin in the church today. Notice here how Jesus isn't at all surprised that sin exists in the church. Sometimes people think that in the church there's a vacuum where people don't really sin. Well, it's actually quite the opposite. That Jesus knows that Christians will continue to sin, and even in church. But the question is, how are we going to deal with that sin? Jesus tells us how to deal with sin in the church today. And this is what Jesus says. If your brother sins against you, call everyone on the phone tree and ruin that person's reputation. No. What you're supposed to do if someone actually sins against you is tell him his fault between you and him alone. Because we're kind of a non-confrontational culture, we skip this step. Before you tell your spouse, before you tell your pastor, before you let it stew in your mind so that you're resenting the person, go talk to the person one-on-one. And I think if we actually did this, 90% of conflicts in church would be avoided. However, if a person sins against you and they refuse to acknowledge their sin, Jesus tells us what to do. We are to bring one or two others. And this is where you bring in pastor, and depending on the circumstance, it might be an elder or something like this. And the hope would be that this would not just be a personality conflict, but that this would bear witness that this is in fact sin. And if still the person refuses to repent, then Jesus says to take it to the church. And if the person refuses to listen even to the church, then to treat him as a Gentile or a tax collector. Now, there's two things we must notice in all of this. Number one, the whole process that Jesus gives us is for the purpose of bringing a person to repentance. Jesus is not giving us policy on how to deal with rule breakers. It's that a person would repent. And number two, a person who is excluded by this proper process is not to be shunned. To treat that person as a Gentile is to treat them as an unbeliever who needs to hear God's word. And should that person repent later, then they are restored to the church. And that's the importance of what Jesus says. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The binding and the loosing that is being spoken of here is the binding and loosing of sins. When carried out biblically, if one is excluded from the Christian congregation because of impenitence, Jesus says we can know for certain that person is excluded from heaven. But when a repentant person comes and hears the church's word of absolution, hears that word of forgiveness, here on earth, it is just as true and certain in heaven itself that person has the forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus says to take sin so seriously. Because he knows what your sin truly is, and he rescues you from them all. Jesus takes your sin so seriously that he takes them away from you and upon himself that you would never know the severity of your own sin. Jesus knows exactly how serious sin is. In fact, we could say that Jesus is the only one who really knows the severity of sin. Sin is as serious as being whipped and scourged. It's as serious as carrying a cross until you fall down. It's as serious as nails piercing your hands and your feet onto a cross. Sin is as serious as being forsaken by God Himself. And Jesus is the only one who knows how serious sin really is. He did all that that you would not. With the punishment for sin taken away, you would never really know just how serious sin is. So for you, is sin a big deal? No, not really. It used to be. Sin used to be the thing that put you at odds with God, that made you an object of His wrath, but not anymore. Jesus is your substitute, and He has done away with your sins, so they are no longer a big deal. No longer are your sins a big deal because your sins have been forgiven. As far as your standing before God is concerned, as far as you having eternal life, your sins are no big deal because they have been died for. You're forgiven. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.